Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Beis, Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom, Ulamai. In the previous shir, in explaining the wording of the Mishnah, that says, Dine Mamnus Bishloisha, Gezelus V'chavolos Bishloisha, Bavu explained that what the Mishnah meant to say was that specifically, Dine Torah that involve gzeilus v'chavolus, is there a requirement that they be conducted b'shloisha with three dayanim? However, hoidos v'halvos do not have that requirement, and that was how the Gemara explained the Mishnah. So now that we've drawn a distinction between gzeilus and chavolus versus hoidos v'halvos, ask the Gemara Ulamai, in what way are they different? If you're going to say that what the Gemara means to say is that whereas the Mishnah teaches us Dine Torah of Gezelus v'Chavolus requires three Dayonim, and we're going to say that Hodos v'Havos do not require three Dayonim, ask the Gemara V'Amam Rebavua, who's the very Man the Omer, who we said gave this explanation of the Mishnah, he says explicitly, Shnayim Shadonu Dine Mamnis, if there are two Dayanim for Dine Mamnis, Divrei Hakol Ein De Neim Din, everybody is in agreement that their judgment is null. Ella, the only difference, says the Gemara, what is the difference between Gzeilus V'Chavolus versus Hodos V'Havos? Whereas by Gzeilus v'Chavolus we're going to need three Dayonim, and those three Dayonim will need to be Mumchim experts, by Hodos v'Halvos we're going to have three Dayonim, but they will not have to be experts. Ask the Gemara Micah Sover, how does the Rav Avua, how does really the Tanav HaMishnah, Rav Avua is explaining his opinion, get to this conclusion? As we learned in Masechta Baba Kama, there is a Tana that holds Erev Parshis Kosov Kan, that the various Parshis, the various Dinim that are stated in Parshis Mishpatim represent a combination of different Parshis mentioned in different situations. What causes the Tana in Masechta Baba Kama to say so is because the Torah teaches us the words ki hu zeh, which are the source for the halacha that a moedim mixes. If somebody makes a partial admission midoraisa, he has to make a shvua. Now that parasha of ki hu zeh is mentioned, this is Rashi's explanation, in middle of the parasha of shomrim, the parasha where we learn if somebody is watching something for someone else. Says Rashi in explaining the Gemara, everybody agrees and understands that by Shomrim there is a chi of Shvua under all circumstances. That means if I ask a Shomer to watch something for me, and then when I come to ask for my item back, he denies that I ever gave it to him, or he says that it was stolen or lost, under all circumstances, even if it's not a hodah b'mitzvah, even if there is no partial admission, the halacha is that the shomer has to make a shvuah. So why does the Torah say the parasha a moedah b'mitzvah in the midst of the parasha of shomer if it's not relevant to the parasha of shomer? It must be that the Torah is teaching us ira parashias, that we don't, that in parashas mishpatim we mix together different parashas from different subjects, and therefore even though the parasha says, the parasha of Hodah B'Mikzas is stated in the middle of the parasha of Shomrim, it's not relevant to the parasha Shomrim. Similarly, we're going to say that even though the Torah only teaches us the din of having three Dayonim in Dinei Torah that involve Gzeilus V'Chavolus, if we learn Eira Parashas Kan, and all the parashas in this and all the subjects in this parasha, so to speak, are mixed together, then the halacha would be that even a din Torah of hadas v'halvas will require three dayanim, and they should be mumchim. V, on the other hand, kasover ein erev parshas kasuv kan, and that just because the Torah says the three expert judges are required for dinei Torah of gezeilus v'chavolus, that has nothing to do with hadas v'halvas. Why would the halacha be that you should need three dayanim? Shloish shlomeli. Why would we need to have three dayanim by dos avos? Just because you need three dayanim by gzeles v'chavos, it has no impact and should have nothing to do with what the halacha is regarding hoidos v'chavos. Says the Gemara, Oilam kasava eir parashis kasukan. Our Tana holds indeed that the parashis are mixed together. And therefore, ubedinhu tlaboy nami mumchim. If three expert judges are required for gzeilus v'chavolus, so too should be the din for hadas v'havas. However, v'hai d'loy bina mumchim, why did Chazal say that mumcha are not required? B'shem Rav Chanina, because of a rule that Rav Chanina taught us. Dam Rav Chanina dvat Torah midai raisa echadini mamunis v'echadini nefashis. Both monetary cases or capital cases, drish v'chakira. We will learn later in our Masechta Mitzvashem that when the Edim come to say testimony, they have to go through drish v'chakira. Drish v'chakira means that drish means that there are seven standard questions asked of all Edim, and chakira means that we have ask specific questions to the Edom. So actually, Drisha v'chakira should be required both by Dine Torah of Dine Mominis and both by Dine Nefashis. However, Shenema, why? Because the Pasuk says, Mishpat Echad Yilachem, Dine Mominis and Dine Nefashis should be treated in the same way. Why did Chazal say that we don't have to go through Drish v'chakira by Dina Mominus, even though we ought to, as the Torah teaches us? We want to make it easier for people to lend money. As Rishonim explained the Gemara, people aren't anxious to lend money. So whenever they have an excuse not to lend money, they won't lend money. So therefore, Chazal said that if there's going to be a din Torah between litigants, and we're going to require mumchim, three experts, then people are not going to want to lend money to each other, because they're always going to have an excuse. It's going to be impossible to find a proper bezdin for this din Torah. To avoid this problem, Chazal said that we should waive the Drish v'chakira requirement. Explain the Mefarshim. We can understand how Chazal would say that we should waive this requirement regarding, how Chazal could say we should waive this requirement regarding Drish v'chakira, because we know that Chazal have the ability to be mevatel a mitzvah b'shev al taisa by saying don't do it. We know, for example, the halach is that really on Rosh Hashanah, even if it's on Shabbos, we should blow the shofar. Chazal have the right to say shev al taisa, don't blow the shofar. The din is on Shabbos, Sukkot, we should take the dalaminim. Chazal have the right to say b'shev al taisa, don't take the dalaminim. But here, and that's why they could also say that even though Drish v'chakira is really required, you don't have to do Drish v'chakira. But how do we understand, ask the Mefarshim, what Chazal say that people who are not qualified to be Dayanim, they're not Mumchim, could go ahead and be Dayanim? Isn't that Bekum V'asei? So the Mefarshim answer, it works with a concept of Hefker Bezdan Hefker. And therefore, the Chazal, with their authority of Hefker, Bez, and Hefker, could even say that they should be, that people who are not mumchim could be dayanim. But this is actually, explained the Mefarshim, a very difficult concept to understand. Because we've discussed previously in understanding the concept of Hefker Bez and Hefker, that Hefker Bez and Hefker, what it can do is that even though this Gemara I'm looking at right now is mine, Hefker Bez and Hefker could say that it's not mine. But could Hefker Bez and Hefker accomplish that a Gemara that's mine should now go be given to someone else? So when we discussed this issue previously, we have quoted opinions that say that Hefker Bez and Hefker has even that ability. However, according to the opinions that say Hefker Bez and Hefker doesn't go that far, and he can't take something that belongs to me and be given to someone else, how could Chazal say people who are not mumchim could be dayonim, and they may end up giving the money to the wrong party in paskening the wrong way? Explain to Mefarshim, what Chazal are doing is that they're equating a non-mumcha to mumcha. It's not that Chazal is saying that the non-mumcha, we give him the right to take someone's money and give it to someone else. Chazal don't have necessarily that authority. But they do have authority to say someone who we thought till now was not qualified to be a dayan is going to be qualified to be a dayan. Once he's identified to be qualified to be a dayan, then whatever he paskins will be the correct psak. However, explained the Mefarsh, the Paiskim, that even though Al-Gemara said, because of Kadesh Loitinal Dalas Basnei Lovim, Chazal waived the requirement for Drish V'Chakir Badin Amominis, it has to be taken in context. Certainly, if the two Edom contradict each other, then we don't accept their testimony, even by Din Amominis. There are exceptions to the rules, which we will discuss in Mitzvah Shem later in our Masechta. Furthermore, say the Paiskim, that even though the full Drish V'Chakira is not required, a basic Drish V'Chakira, some basic facts, are required to be asked even by Dine Mominus. Furthermore, say the Paiskim, that given that it's the obligation of a Dayan to get to the truth, that's part of his obligation, so certainly a Dayan who is a Dayan in Dine Mominus, but he sees that there's something troubling in this Din Torah, has the obligation to try to get to the truth, even if it involves asking questions that Al Gemara says that Beis Din Mominus, we don't do Drish V'Chakira. That's not to mean that if there are questions that need to be asked to get to the truth, they should not be asked. Ask the Gemara, Elema Atata Lo Yishlamu. The way Rashi explains the Gemara's question is as follows. If Chazal is so anxious that people should lend money and not have an excuse not to lend money, the halacha we're going to learn further is like this. That if a dayan mumcha makes a mistake in his psak, he's exempt from paying damages. If a dayan she'ena mumcha makes a mistake, he has to pay damages. If we're so anxious, ask the Gemara, to have dayanim, so then we should even allow a non-expert judge to be exempt from paying damages, so that we should again have more dayanim available for such dinei Torah. So people should be more prepared to lend money to each other. Says the Gemara, Koshken Shatan Noyadels Mefnei Lovin. If you're going to do this, if dayanim are not going to be held responsible for paying damages, certainly people will now have an excuse not to lend money. Because they'll say, if we'll take a din Torah and we'll lose the din Torah improperly, we won't be able to recover damages. So again, we'll have an excuse not to lend money. And we're trying to avoid that excuse. Therefore, this rule wasn't changed. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if now we're understanding that Mishnah means that both Gzeilus v'Chavolus and Hadas v'Avos require three dayanim, Ihachi Tartik Tani, why can't we say that the Mishnah is to be understood this way? Dine Mominus. When the Mishnah begins with the words Dine Mominus, it means Shloisha Hajoitis, three judges who are non-mumchim. Gzeilus v'Chavolus, will require shloisha, but those three have to be mumchim, experts. But furthermore, v'oid, now says the Gemara, if you think about it, the original question that the Gemara asked is seemingly a difficult question. The original pshat that the Gemara gave, which said, dinim mamonis b'shloisha, or mahein dinim mamonis gzeilis v'chavolis, is a difficult pshat to understand. Because why would the Mishnah have to use the word shloisha twice? If gzeilis v'chavolis, dinim mamonis and gzeilis v'chavolis are all the same. Void shloisha lamali, the Mishnah should have said dinim mamonis, which I'm referring to gzeilis v'chavolis, should be done b'shloisha. El amarava, indeed says Rava, the way to understand the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is teaching us Tartik Tani, two separate dinim. First, the Mishnah teaches us dinim mamonis, the dinim that by hadas v'havas, that loch is, we have three dayanim, and the reason that they don't have to be mumchim, experts, mishum de rechanina, what rechanina taught us, kadesh loytinel delas b'fnei lovin, and then the Mishnah teaches us another din, that gzeilus v'chavalois require three dayanim, but they have to be mumchim. Rav Achabarei Dervika Omar, Rav Achabarei Dervika has a different way of understanding our Mishnah. He says, midaraisa, indeed, by gzeils v'chavol, by hedos v'havos, chad nami kosher, one dayan is kosher. Shnemer, because the pasuk says, b'tzedek tish b'remisecha. Ella, b'shem yosh v'kronis. Chazal said that we shouldn't just have one dayan, because we're concerned that we're going to end up having that one dayan being an individual who is not learned. Machlokes Rishonim, who is considered a Yoshvei Kronis. Some explain, Rashi explains, Yoshvei Kronis are tagrim that aren't familiar with halacha. Tosfos says that that's obvious, that such an individual is disqualified from being a dayan. So Taisa says that he's not totally unlearned, he's just not a Talmud Chacham. And the Chazanish, in explaining this, says, he says we need to have an individual who, if he has no, if we have to have first that both litigants accept this person to be a dayan. If both litigants aren't prepared to accept him as a dayan, then there's nothing to talk about. He says once we have a situation that both litigants are prepared to accept the person as a dayan, now the issue becomes how much of a Talmud Chacham must he be? And if he's totally unlearned, he's disqualified. If he's somewhat learned, he may be qualified. But we don't want to have a bezdin of such a total group of unlearned people. That's why if we'll have only one dayan and he turns out to be an amoritz, we have a real problem. If we have three, says the Gemara, Otvitlosa, continues the Gemara, Miloy have Yoshvei Kronis, so maybe if we take three, we'll have the same problem. Answers the Gemara, Efsha, the less Buchad the Gomer. It's hard to assume that if you'll have a group of three Jews sitting down to the entire, there isn't at least one that's somewhat learned. Elam Atta, says the Gemara, if we're saying that somebody who's not learned, Midaraisa, is kosher to be a dayan, then we should go back to what we discussed a moment ago, that the halach is that someone who's allowed a paskin a din Torah, if he makes a mistake, he's not obligated to pay damages. So here, if somebody who's not learned makes a mistake in a din Torah regarding haidos v'havos, lo yishlamu, he should not be obligated to pay damages because he's 100% allowed to paskin this din Torah midaraisa. Answers the Gemara, Koshkein, and then the Fish Yoshvei Kronis. If there were no consequences for somebody who's not an expert in paskening a din Torah regarding hadas v'avos, so nobody's going to have an incentive to ever become knowledgeable, because you could pasken a shayla and you have no consequences, because even if you'll make a mistake, you won't have to pay damages. So once Chazal wanted three dayanim for hadas v'avos to prevent Yoshvei Kronis from being involved in this din Torah, they also said that such individuals who are not mumchim will be responsible to pay damages. Interesting machloikis Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says that according to Rav Achim Reder of Ikka, that says that one dayan is kosher to be a dayan for Hidas Vavos. Obviously, Rav Achim Reider Avikah does not follow the opinion that we learned earlier in this year, Ira Parshis Kosovkan, that all the Parshis and Mishpatim are to be connected. Otherwise, if we learn Ira Parshis Kosovkan, we learned at the beginning of this year, then it would require three Dayonim for Hidas Vahavos. However, there are, Taisus disagrees. Taisus says it could well be that Rav Achim Reider Avikah agrees that Ira Parshis Kosovkan. However, even though he agrees that if Parshas Kosovkan, the halacha should be that still, since the Torah explicitly says Betzedek Tishpat Amisecho, the Torah is saying regarding this specific rule, regarding this specific question of how many dayanim are required for Dos Valvos, one dayan is enough. Ask the choice. The Gemara is saying here that if you have three dayanim, there must have been one of them who was a Talmud Chacham. The other two might have not been. Ask the choice. We know there's a rule that Eidish Shabbatle Mekzasa Betle Kula. If there's a group of people who are Eidim together and one of them becomes disqualified, that affects the qualification of all of them to be Edim. So why don't we say the same thing by Dayanim, that if one of them is disqualified, it should affect all of them, and therefore if one of them is Loigomer, all of them should be possible for being Dayanim. So the choice based on this question says from Al Gemara we see that even though by Edis there's a din of Edis Shabbat L'Mekzos Shabbat L'Kula, there is no such din by Dayanim of Dayan Shabbat L'Mekzos Shabbat L'Kula. Or Sameach says a different terrence. He says, since as we're learning, according to the opinion of Achbar Eder Avikah, one dayin is kosher. So it's not a regular situation of Bezdin, where you have a situation of dayin Shabbat Mekzos Batel Kula. Those other people aren't needed, and therefore the regular halacha would not apply. The stipler, however, says a different pshat. The stipler says, a dayin who's loigomer, a dayin who's unlearned, is not a dayin. When do we have a concept of dayin Shabbat Mekzasa dayin Batel Kula? If the person is at least qualified to be a dayin. Here, given that this individual is not at all qualified to be a dayin, we don't say the concept of dayin Shabbat Mekzasa Batel Kula. Al Gemara quoted the pasuk of Betzedek Tishpat Amisecha, that there's a requirement for dayanim to paskin to shayles properly. So ask the Rishonim, so why before the Torah do Dayanim not make a bracha as the Kishonim Tzvayisov Lishpat Betzedek Amiseinu? So the Rashba and answers this question says we always have to be concerned that the litigants will not accept the psak of the Dayanim and therefore they don't make a bracha. Another pshat that I saw from the Tumim, the Rosh, he says, learns this way, is the entire represents a terrible situation that we have two people in dispute. A bracha is not made when two people are in dispute. The Chiddush HaRim says we always have to consider the possibility that the two litigants will settle before the Dayanim give their psak. And therefore, we're not sure that they're going to come to Psak, and therefore they don't make a bracha. The Chassam Soifer says, there's always a concern, as we're learning in our Gemara, that Dayanim may make a mistake, and that's why we don't make a bracha. Others explain that we don't make a bracha in a situation that of mitzvahs ben Adam l'chaveroi. We only make brachas by mitzvahs ben Adam l'makim. And this is a mitzvah of ben Adam l'chaveroi. And another pshat that I saw is that we only make brachas on mitzvahs that only apply to Jews, not to non-Jews. And since we know that one of the Zion mitzvahs b'nei noyach is dinim, that they also have to have a judicial system in place, so it's not a mitzvah that applies specifically to Jews, therefore we don't make a bracha, dayanim don't make a bracha before the beginning of the Torah. Says the Gemara, now that we've learned these two pshatim, both Rava and Rav Achim Reider Avikah are in agreement that for hadas v'havas three dayanim are required, but we don't need that there should be mumchim. So what's nafkamina? They only have a nafkamina if we learn it midaraisa, you need three, or midrabbanan, one is enough. But what is the practical nafkamina between Rav and Rav Acha b'Rei d'Ravika? My ikka ben Rav l'Rav Acha b'Rei d'Ravika? Answers the Gemara, ikka ben ayodam Shmuel. Shmuel said, shnayim shadonu dinayim din. If two people pask in a shayla, their halacha is fine, the psak is accepted, el shnikru bezden chotzev, consider bezden chotzev. The Rava, let's say the Shmuel, Rava can't agree with Shmuel's statement. Because according to Rava Midaraisa, three dayanim are required. So you can't just say it's okay, b'diyevid, if you had two dayanim. However, Rav Acha b'Rei d'Ravika can't agree with Shmuel, because he says Midaraisa, one dayan is enough. The Rabbanan said that you should have three dayanim. But Shmuel said, b'diyevid, if you had two dayanim, it's acceptable. Why is such a bezdin called a bezdin chotzuf? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is because this bezdin are mchutzofim. They went against what Chazal said. Chazal said you should have three dayanim, and they disregarded Chazal and they passed in the shayla with two dayanim. But I saw another interesting pshat. What is the definition of a chotzuf? The definition of a chotzuf is someone who doesn't care what people say about him. So Mepharshim say as follows. If you have three dayanim, and now we know that during the deliberation of the dayanim, the two parties, the two litigants have to leave the room. And the dayanim deliberate. And they give a psak. The psak, as we learned and we learned, we follow the majority. So there's always a possibility when I walk in and I'm the litigant that lost, that I should think that it was a 2-1 vote. And every dayan that I'm looking at will assume, you know what, he really passed into my favor, just he was in the minority. But if there are only two dayanim, obviously they both were in agreement, otherwise we wouldn't have a psak. So when I look at any dayan, I can't say maybe he passed into my favor. It's obvious that he didn't. And those dayanim obviously don't care what I think. That's called chotzef. Interesting, machloikis apoiskim. Our Gemara just discussed a situation where you could have a bezdin, according to Rav Acha b'Rei d'Ravika specifically, of dayanim. One certainly must be a learned person, and the other two might not be learned. What would be the halacha if they're now deliberating, these three individuals, and the Talmud Chacham feels one way, but he's in the minority, the two Amaratzim disagree with him? How will we paskin? The Shvus Yaakov says we go after the majority. If this is the Bezdin, we follow the majority. However, the Shara Mishpat disagrees. The Shara Mishpat says we can't say that we follow the majority if the one Talmud Chacham follows paskins one way and the Maratzim, their opinion is discounted when faced with the opinion of the Talmud Chacham. We learned in the Mishnah, Netzek v'chatzi Netzek, are judged by three Dayanim. Ask the Gemara, Nezek kind of Chavolos. Isn't Nezek a situation Chavolos that has already been mentioned in the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Bishum the Kabbalah Mishnah Chatzi Nezek. Because our Mishnah wants to speak about Chatzi Nezek, therefore Taninami Nezek Shalom, the Mishnah speaks about Nezek Shalom also. Ask the Gemara, you haven't really answered the question. Because Chatzi Nezek, Nami Chavolos. Chatzi Nezek is also paid with a short time does damage. So we're back to our question, why must it be mentioned? Why isn't it included in the category of chavolos? Answers the Gemara, Tani Mamoina. The Tana wants to speak about obligations to pay that a Mamoina, but Tani Knasa, we're at a fine. Where it's only Knas, it's a fine. We learned in Masechta Mabakama, a Machlaikis, that the Torah says that a short time pays Chatzi Nezek. How is that to be viewed? One Mandama says Mamoina. That really a short time should have to pay Nezek Shalom because he did that damage. The Torah was lenient because he's only a tam, they should pay Chatzi Nezek. The other opinion holds Chatzi Nezek Knosso. Really a short time should not have to pay anything. The Torah was stringent and said that he should pay Chatzi Nezek because of a Knas. So says the Gemara. According to the opinion of Masechta Baba Kama that says Chatzi Nezek is a Knas, that's why Chatzi Nezek has to be specifically mentioned in our Mishnah. Ela man dama palgan is gemeina. The chatzin nezik is another situation of mammon. So back to our question, mayikal amema, why isn't included in the category of chavolas? Why must it be singled out? Answers the Gemara. El aydi the kabayil misna tashlumi keifu v'tashlumi abav v'chamisha. The Mishnah must mention tashlumi keifu v'tashlumi abav v'chamisha, because they are a unique situation of mammon, because they are mammon she'enim ishtam b'roishu, that you're not paying as much as you damaged, you're paying more. Keifel, you're paying twice the damage. Above a chamisha, you're paying 4 or 5 times the amount of the damage. Therefore, Tana Nami Chatzin Nezek. Our Tana also mentions Chatzin Nezek, which it too is Momin, she'enim ishtam b'roishu. You're not paying as much as you damaged, you're paying less than you damaged. Chatzin Nezek. V'ayid the kaboyla mister Chatzin Nezek. Once our Tana mentions Chatzin Nezek, Tana Nami, that's why it also mentions Nezek, the situation of Nezek Shalom. Ask the Gemara. We've been speaking about the requirement for 3 dayonim. Ask the Gemara Shloish Menolam, from where do we know that you need to have 3 dayonim? The Tanur Rabbonim, the Pasuk says, V'nikra ba'alabayis alehim, harekan echa, that's 1 dayin. Ad alehim yovet v'ar shneyem, harekan shneyem, now we have a requirement for 2 dayonim. Asher yoshino lakim, harekan shloisha. So that's how Rabbi Yishai says, since the Torah uses the word Elohim 3 times, that's how we know you need to have 3 dayonim. Rabbi Yonasan disagrees. He says, Rishon Tchila Nema. The first time the Torah uses the words Elohim is just to teach us the basic rule that we need to have dayonim. And the Ein Darshan Tchilas. And that, therefore, that mentioning of the word Elohim cannot be used to teach us how many dayonim are required. Elo, how do we know that 3 dayonim are required? The ad alahim yovid vashneim harekan echot. That's the requirement for 1 dayin. Asher yishin alahim harekan shneim. Now we know we need 2 dayonim. And there's a rule that ain't bezdin shochel. We can't have a bezdin with an even number of judges. Therefore, mesifin alayim erechot. We have to add 1 more dayin. And harekan shloisha. Now we know we have to have 3 dayonim. So says the Gemara, it seems, the Neimra, B'darshin Tchilas Kamefki, that the Machlokes between Rabbi Yoshe and Rabbi Yonasan is, do we or don't we darshin expound the first time the Torah mentions something? The Masover, Rabbi Yoshe is of the opinion Darshin Tchilas, and therefore the first time the Torah uses the words Elohim, it too can be used to teach us the number of Dayonim that are required. Well, Rabbi Yonasan holds, ain't Darshin Tchilas, and therefore the first time the Torah uses the word Elohim, it can't be used to teach us the amount of Dayonim required, says the Marloi. It could well be the Kulei Alma, ain't Darshan Tchilas, that everybody agrees that the first time something is mentioned, it cannot be used for drasha. So how does Rabbi Yishai defend his position? Omlach Rabbi Yishai, im kain, if all we need the first time the Torah to teach us this halacha is just to teach us that judges are required, name the crow would have been adequate for the pasuk to say, v'nikra balabayis ala shayfit. My Elohim, why does the Torah use the word Elohim? Shmami Nod, which is an unusual word to be used to teach us the halacha of Dayanim. Shmami Nod, to teach us L'minyana, the amount of the count of Dayanim, that you need 3 Dayanim. What does Rabbi Yonasan say to that? Rabbi Yonasan, Lishna Da'amanokat. Rabbi Yonasan says the word Elohim is not an unusual word. K'ra'amri Inshi, as people say, Man de Isridina, Likr V'lgabi Dayanah. Elohim is the word that's used for dayanim. It can't be used for drasha. Ask the Gemara, but why is Rabbi Yoshia opposed to Rabbi Yonasan's limud? Rabbi Yoshia, less like Bez Denoita, can't he agree? Doesn't he agree that we don't have an even number of members to Bez Den? V'tanya, Rabbi Lezer ben Yoshia, Rabbi Yoshia Glili Oimer, Ma Tamal Oimer, Lintos. Achri Rabbi Mahatis. Hatayra Oima, the Torah is teaching us, Aseilacha Bez Denoita. Make a court of that is uneven, an odd number. So, why can't he agree with Rabbi Yonasan? Answers the Gemara. Savala Rabbi Oishi agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, Dama Shivim. We learned in our Mishnah yesterday, a machlaikis, how many members were there in the Sanhedrin Gedolah? And Rabbi Yishai is going to agree with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says there were 70 members to the Sanhedrin Gedoyla. The Tanan, Sanhedrin Gedoyla, Hoysesh Shishim Ve'echot. The Tanakama holds there were 71 members. Rehudah Meshivin, there were only 70. And as the Mefarshim point out, even though the Tanakama's basis for saying that there were 71 members is because Moshe al Gabeim, Moshe was above all the other 70 members of the court, say to Mefarshim, everybody agrees that Moshe al Gabeim. The question is, what role does the person on top play? Is he considered a member of the court, and therefore we have 71 members to the court? Or he's just considered al Gabeim, but he's not considered a member of the court? Says the Gemara, so that's why the Gemara is saying, just like Rabbi Yehuda holds, you could have 70 members to the Sanhedrin, an even number, so too Rabbi Yishai is not concerned about an even number in a Beis Din, and the only reason he says that we need to have three members in a court is because of his limud of Elohim three times. Ask the Gemara, aim the Sham Leil Rabbi Yehuda, where did Rabbi Yehuda say that an even number is fine? In the Sanhedrin Gedoyl, where the Pasuk explicitly says 70 Dayanim. B'shad Dinim Mishamadlein? Who says that that will be the rule by other Bati Dinim? And as the Ran explains to Gemara very beautifully, he says that it could well be that the Torah, that the halacha is, we should have an uneven number members of court, because like we have a rule, we should never have a Beis Din Shokel. If we have Beis Din Shokel, we have an even number, we should add judges. However, here, so why didn't Chazal say so to the Sanhedrin? Because if the Torah goes out of its way to explicitly say that we only need 70 members in the court, we have no right to say differently and say no, we're going to add members. But maybe that's only by the Sanhedrin. With the Ran's explanation, it's beautiful. Because there the Torah explicitly said you need 70 members, and only 70. How do we know that rule doesn't apply elsewhere? The Chitaim, if you'll suggest, Loishno, there's no difference between the Sanhedrin Gedoyla and all other courts. V'tanan, then we learn in our Mishnah, Smich Zaken V'arich V'sagolo B'shloisha. You need three Dayonim. Divrei Reb Shimon. Yudaymer B'chamisha. You need 5 dayanim. Vaminan, my tam de Yehuda. Vasamchu is shnayim. Ziknei shnayim. So it's 2 plus 2 equals 4. And then there's a rule that ain't bez and shokel. We don't have an even number of dayanim. Moisifan aleim eid echod. Harei kan hey. So we see clearly that for all bati dinim, we have to have an odd number. And says the Gemara, the Rabbi Oishia difam de Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, but Sanhedrin who gedoyla who the last lay. Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned with an even number of members of the Sanhedrin gedoyla. Habishab de dina by other bati dinim is like he's going to say you can't have an even number. Rabbi Yoshia, b'shab dina nami leslay. And Rabbi Yoshia is going to say even by other courts you don't have to have an odd number, you could have an even number. Ask the Gemara, Elahai lintus my avid lay. We learned that the pasuk at the beginning of this piece of Gemara, that we learn from the word lintois, aseilach habezdin noita, that we should have a bezdin with an odd number of members. What would Rabbi Oishi do with that limud? Answers the Gemara, Michael Labedin and Nefashis. He's going to say that that pasuk is talking about capital cases. Capital cases, Rabbi Oishi will agree, you have to have an odd number. Abedin and Mominus, it could well be that an even number is acceptable. Allah asked the Gemara, Hadatanan, we learned in the Mishnah regarding monetary cases, Shnai Mamrim Zakai, Vechra Mechayiv, if two Dayanim say that he's for acquittal, and one says for conviction, Zakai, he's not Chayiv to pay. Shnai Mamrim Chayiv, Vechra Mechayiv, Chayiv, he is Chayiv to pay. Name of the Lord Rabbi Yishia. Should we say that this doesn't follow Rabbi Yishia? Because since Rabbi Oishia is learning that the obligation to have a third dayan is because the Torah says Elohim three times, we should say that majority rule is not enough. Rather, maybe what the Torah is teaching us by saying Elohim three times is that we have to have three Dayanim and all in agreement to the verdict. And says the Gemara, I feel it in Rav Oshia. If this Gemara could be consistent with Rav Oshia, because Maisel of Kavachayim with Dina Nefashis, he could learn Dina Mamnis with a Kavachayim from Dina Nefashis. Or Ma Dina Nefashis, the Chamiri. If Dina Chamashis, if capital offenses, which are so much more severe, Omrachman Azil Basaruba, the Torah says we should follow the majority, Dina Mamnis, which are not that serious, like Kolshke, that we don't have to follow, that we follow the majority. As Taisvis and as the Rishonim, that we know that we learned the Sugyas many times, if Hochim Mamon Acharoif, and the Gemara said in Sechma of Batsra and the Avtsadik Beis, that Omashmul and Hochim Mamon Acharoif. So, how could we say that we follow the majority here? If our Gemara is teaching us that ain't holchin, that our Gemara is saying that we learn from Dinei Nefashis to Dinei Mamonis, and just like by Dinei Nefashis we follow the majority of the court, so too should be the halacha by Dinei Mamonis, so too we should say regarding Dinei Mamonis that holchin b'mamon acharoif. So I saw two answers to this question. One answer is there are different types of roiv. When we're talking about a roiv that is obvious, there Shmuel will agree that even by Dina Mamonis we follow Roiv. The Gemara Masechta Babasra, for example, was speaking about what are most oxen used for. So that's not such a strong Roiv. There Shmuel will say, Ein Hoch Mamon Achar Roiv. Another pshat, which is a very fundamental vort, which says that Dina, when we say by Bezda we follow the Roiv, it's not that we follow Roiv. We have a court, and majority rules one way. It's not that we have a majority and a minority, and we follow the majority. The minority becomes bottle and becomes equivalent to the majority, and we have a psaka bezdin. So this is not a regular situation of Roiv. And therefore here, everybody will agree that even Shmuel that says, Ein Hoch B'mamon Achar Roiv, here will follow the Roiv. Tana Rabbanan, Dinei Mamonis, monetary cases, B'Shloisha. Rabbi Omer, B'Chamisha with five Dayanim. Kadesh Yigarma, the B'Shloisha will have at least three Dayanim paskening the Shaila. Ask the Gemara, Ota B'Tlosa, Miloi Gorma Dinei Betray. Can't we have a situation where we have a court of three members and we'll have a verdict reached by two? Why do we need five judges? Says the Gemara, Nigmar Din B'Shloisha. What he means, according to Rebbe, we need that the verdict should be given by at least three Dayanim. Alma, obviously Rebbe is of the opinion that Kesavet Losa Kiksivi, when the Torah says you need to have three Dayanim by Dinei Mamnis, B'Gemar Dinei Kiksivi. The Torah wants those three Dayanim to be an agreement in the verdict. Megad Baravavuah. When they were learning Rebbe's opinion and they explained it this way, Rav Avoh had a question, and the way they knew he had a question because he made some sort of a gesture of surprise as he heard this explanation. It was hard for him to understand this explanation. Elam Atab, because he said if we're going to follow this line of reasoning, Tehei Sanhedrin Gedolah, Tzricha Meiv Avim Vechod, then the Sanhedrin Gedolah should have to have 141 members. Kedeshi Megmar Dimashim Vechod. So we should have 71 agreeing to the verdict, at least. Or, Taisedrin Gedolah, Tzricha Abov Vechamisha. There should have to be 45 members to Sanhedrin Katana. Kedeshi Megmar Dimashloish Vechod. That you should have a conclusion with 23, which nobody said. Elo, Usfalishim Ish Amrachmana. The Torah says that we have to get 70 judges together, not that all 70, we have to have a verdict reached by 70 judges. Similarly, that we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, which is the basis for knowing how many members we have to have in a Sanhedrin Ketana. Nami, we only need to have 23 when they sit down to judge, not that we have to have 23 agreeing to the verdict. Hochanami, why don't we say the same thing here? V'nikra balabayas elohim, mishas kreva shloisha. When they sit down, we have to have three dayanim. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have three dayanim reaching a common verdict. So now we're back to our question. Why does Rebbe say we need five dayanim for monetary cases? Elahinatam de Rebbe, Asher Yashin Elohim, since the Torah uses the words Yashion, which is a Lashon Rabbim, so that means two, and Nem Elohim Lamal Tov, and Nem Elohim Lamala, the Torah says the word Elohim Yavad Vashnaim, Asher Yashin Elohim Yishalim Shnaim Lareyehu, the Torah uses the same word twice. Malamata, the second time where it says the word Yashion, was saying it means Shnaim, it means two judges. Aflamala will also say it means Shnaim. So we have 2 plus 2 equals 4. And then we have a rule that Ein Bez Din Shokel, we don't have an even number of Dayanim in a court. Masif and Aleim Oid Echad, Hareka Chamisha, we have 5 judges. Rabbanan. So doesn't Rebbe have a very good source to say that you have to have 5 judges? Yashion is Lashon Rabbim. Says the Gemara, Rabbanan go according not to the way it's read, but according to the way it's written. And the word Yashion is written without the Vav. It's written in the singular. And therefore, the halacha is, Yashion doesn't mean two, it can mean one. And therefore, since the Torah uses the word Elohim 3 times, that's how we know you only need 3 Dayanim, not like Rebbe who says you need to have 5 Dayanim.